Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Very excited to be here with you this second Wednesday of January. It sure feels like the first week of winter out there, though, right now. Cold and blustery, jacket weather for sure. I got to dust off a few old favorites out of the closet and get a pick for. I kind of look forward to these weeks like this when we get to wear our winter attire. In the restaurant business, these first couple weeks of January, as we've said on the show, actually happen to be some of the slower weeks of the entire winter season. Our restaurant season generally runs from mid-October to mid-May, but these first couple weeks of January always have a little bit of a slowdown, right? As we get into such horrible things as dry January for us in the industry, or people giving up carbs or heading off to the gym, right? And maybe they don't want to have those fatty restaurant foods. But fortunately, for most of the restaurateurs over there, those sentiments only last 2 or 3 weeks, and sometime right around Martin Luther King Day weekend, I always say, it picks back right up and everybody heads back to their local favorite establishments. Some sad news in the Tucson restaurant business has happened over the last couple weeks since the last time we had a little food for thought or a Jump In Tucson show with me. And that happens to be the closure of two of my most favorite markets in the Old Pueblo, both Johnny Gibson's Market, located downtown, and Flores Market on 6th and Tucson have announced their closing. This really breaks my heart because these are two very unique, special properties with a tremendous amount of history here, and it's really sad to see them not be able to make it. Unfortunately, this is most likely due to a much larger condition that markets at that nature just can't compete with the economies of scale of much larger establishments. I think of Pine Top, Arizona, where there's a little market called Eddie's Country Store owned by Eddie Bosch's, right? And the Bosch's group happens to own AJ's and Bosch's and Food City. And so they can knock out a tiny little market in some capacity because in reality, they've got the economies of scale to buy food and beverage and other sundries at a slightly lower price and still be able to market up. I'm not so sure, however, that the next iterations of either Johnny Gibson's or a Flores Market are going to be markets. Quite frankly, the market conditions, pun intended, may just not be suitable for those sort of businesses here in the Old Pueblo. We see over and over again, retail establishments, even the Walgreens of the world, aren't making it on busy street corners. It's going to be even tougher for local restaurateurs to make it. And so I feel terrible for Nate Aries, who's been, of course, you know, a guest of the show here on Jump In Tucson. He's going to dive deep into the prep and pastry concepts that have been so successful for him. And I wish him and his team a tremendous amount of success moving forward as they retool and start to focus on their core competencies in breakfast. And other sad news, a local coffee shop that had moved from food truck to brick and mortar, Cup of Go-Go on 4877 East Speedway, has also announced their closure. And so we're losing a number of restaurants right to start off the year, which is really heartbreaking. On a more positive note, however, the news has come up that we're celebrating 30 years of Bison Witch's sandwiches over on 4th Avenue. 30 years is an incredible run for any restaurant. Heck, 3 years is probably a pretty good run for most local restaurants. When you make it 3 decades, you should absolutely have your jersey hung up in the Restaurant Hall of Fame over there. So Tom Clark and the crew from Bison Witches, congratulations on 3 decades of bread bowls and soup bowls and those half sandwiches that all of Tucson know and love. I actually, a little secret over here, modeled a portion of my first menu that I ever made at my first restaurant in San Carlos, Sonora, Mexico, after a number of the dishes that they did in Bison Witches. We had a bread bowl just like that, right? And an artichoke dip and a bread bowl, which I know sounds very passe now, but in the 90s, this was pretty avant-garde. And I brought this bread bowl artichoke dip to Mexico. And most of the guests down there had never seen such an artifact like this. And in many cases, they actually physically grabbed the bread bowl, like filled with hot artichoke dip, and bit into it, and receiving a terribly unpleasant surprise. And so it was a really neat opportunity for us to educate people on dishes like that. But some of my early restaurant success truly came from copying Bison Witches. So big salute to you guys. 30 years in the business. That is pretty awesome to make it that long. And one more positive note, Desert Shark Poke is opening up at 2501 East Grant Road, that was previously known as Lemon Shark Poke, happens to be located right next to the Culinary Dropout there and across the street from the Snooze and Postino there, right on that hard corner. And so they have opened up this week, obviously keeping the name Shark and keeping the part Poke, but they're moving from Lemon Shark to Desert Shark, probably saving a couple bucks on signage over there. But I certainly wish them a tremendous amount of luck as they jump into the restaurant business as well, too. And then finally, just last night, we got news that the appeals court is blocking the teardown of the historic motels on Drachman. The Tucson Inn and the other properties that were there that were marked for death and began to have a bit of teardown on them have been halted by an appeals court. Well, the Tucson Historic Preservation Society looks to a manner in some capacity or way to save these historic buildings. It creates an interesting challenge in Tucson, this historic preservation, because on one level, I truly do think we need to preserve our history and care for it, right? I think everybody in Tucson laments how we tore down parts of the historic barrio to create the TCC, because at the time in the late 60s and early 70s, we didn't value that barrio, that architecture with the character that now we do. But in some cases, we may be going too far on historic preservation as well, too, if you're not allowed to do anything with these buildings. You can see the slow development on Broadway, and you can see, you know, this challenge that Pima Community College has had with these buildings as well, too. And so it's going to be an interesting conundrum to see if they can fit something in the hospitality industry to make those buildings work. Could it be a hotel? Could it be a restaurant school? Maybe Pima Community College could do something like Northern Arizona and have an amazing hospitality degree come out of there and even operate these establishments. It's going to be a real challenge, and I wish everybody a tremendous amount of luck for figuring that one out. But at the moment, those buildings have got a stay of execution. Those beautiful neon signs are still up and going to be rung brightly into this year in 2025, and I will keep you listeners posted on that. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to bring in a dynamic duo, a baking team over here that has absolutely won nearly every single award you could possibly win in the culinary world. I get a couple awards every once in a while for my restaurants, a Tucson Weekly Award, or perhaps a City of Gastronomy, but those are daytime Emmys of food awards. We're talking about somebody, a group that has won a James Beard Award, the absolute Oscars of food service. When we come back after the break, I'm going to bring you Don Guerra, Mateo Guerra from Barrio Bread, Barrio Bagel and Slice. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. We are joined live in the KVOI studios with our first James Beard Award winner here on Jump In Tucson, Don and Mateo Guerra. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Grant.
Good morning.
Hey, very excited to have you over here today. Let's break down who and what you guys are. It's Barrio Bread, right, at 18 South Eastbourne, and then you've got Barrio Bagel as well, too?
Yeah, so Barrio Bread, my company started out of the garage in 2009, and, you know, great success there. It's long 8 years in the garage creating a community around bread, and out to the brick and mortar in 2015. That's been going so well. And then recently a bakery in Gilbert. So I branched out to Gilbert a little bit about a year and a half ago, and exploring the Phoenix market. This is where I'm from, Tempe, Arizona. So it's nice to get back and see my family a little bit more there. And, you know, start a Barrio Bread and serve that community, and it's going well. And so, yeah, as you mentioned, my new concept, Barrio Bagel and Slice, coming very soon. And it'll be located across the street from my current bakery, which is in the Hayden Flour Mills mill. So, hey, fantastic space, but it'll serve as a commissary to my new restaurant.
That is so amazing, Don. Like, to think that you started this business in 2009 in your garage, and you've gone to now winning a James Beard Award and having restaurants now or facilities in multiple cities. Like, that's amazing.
Oh, you know, it's about the hustle. As you know, it's once you get going, it's you just have to stay with it. It's been a lot of fun. It's definitely my passion. I couldn't do it without all the passion behind me and all the support of the community. And product, this is something I've been doing since 1991 when I started making bread. And then a year later, making the Levant Technique bread, the sourdough method, which is, I believe, having a re-renaissance, you know, something, a product that's made with fewer ingredients and now with local grains. It's just a win-win that I can do this for the community and with my team and with my son, now making new products. So a dream come true for me, but it's a lot of effort, but I'm up for it. I'm always up to serve my community in the best way I can. It's, you know, I feel it's an obligation, when knowing what I know about Brad and about the industry, to really just bring a spotlight on Tucson and just make our town shine.
I think you're one of only three chefs that I know of Tucson that have won a James Beard Award. Is that correct? I can think of Janos,
yeah,
right? And then,
correct.
Of course, we had Huero Canelo as mm-hmm. well, too, if I remember, in 2018 Daniel. As well, too, and yourself in 2022.
Yep, that's right. That's correct. Yeah, so it's an honor. You know, the James Beard Award, it is a big deal. It's the Oscars of the culinary world, but for me, it's really a nod to my community and a big thanks. I'm so grateful, and I do believe the reason I won is because of all the wonderful things going here in Tucson and the opportunities I've had with turning this local grain into bread, serving my community in more ways than just feeding them a product, but it's the education. You know, I call it bread education. So working with, you know, preschool age children all the way to adults and teaching them how to make natural leavened bread, but also other products are in projects that are outside the bread, school systems, other community efforts. So it's just been awesome to be multifaceted. Barrio Bread is more than just a bakery. It's really a community investment project to me.
No, without a doubt. So explain to me some of the differences between, say, being a bread company, a baker, and a restaurateur, right? They always say that cooking is an art and baking is a science, is the old cliche with these sort of things. Well, tell me about that a little bit.
Well, baking is an art. It is science. And those two combined are my favorite things, art and science, and a lot of physical work, right? So I believe there's a lot of parallels. We're both in both industries, you're making food for the community, and along the same principles, you have to watch all the different parts of your business, the financials, of course, and how you serve community. And I believe this is what we do as Tucsonans. Everyone in the food industry really has to have that focus on local and what we're doing to create a niche market and really get the community rally behind what you do. So it goes beyond just having an awesome tasting food or product. It's about how you lend your hand to community engagement, involvement, and how to just better the community with what you do. So I think along the same lines, restaurant and bakery. Bakery has just been my love, but as of late, I've been getting involved in more restaurants, and now with pizza. The bagels been my newer products, and I've been developing the pizza with my son Mateo. And this is a long time coming, right? Since Teo was about five, we've been making pizzas together, and now it's just awesome to see him shine. I do believe it's becoming a passion for him. He's so creative, and even though it was something that's passed to him, he's just, I believe, surpassed me in his ability to create such an amazing product. So,
well, what an amazing teacher to have you, like, as both a father and a mentor. No, Teo, like, how's it going for you so far working with the company and working with your dad?
Yeah, it's going amazing. I'm definitely very blessed to have my dad as my father. But yeah, it's an honor to see the whole journey and him come up and make this beautiful thing happen. And I'm just completely honored to do this with him.
Well, I'm really excited to hear more about these bagels and the pizza concept as well, too. You know, every year when the Tucson Weekly gives out its awards, you're seeing these chain bagel places essentially winning, because we hadn't had, until just a couple of years ago, that many local options for bagels. And you make something you call a Sonoran bagel. Define to me what makes a Sonoran bagel different.
Yeah, sure. So after I won the James Beard in 2022, I had Chompy's reach out to me, Chompy's organization, and they proposed making a product with me in this. I had known them loosely before, but to me, that was even an honor. I've always wanted to try to make a bagel. So my answer right away is the product I want to make with them, a bagel. And so the Sonoran bagel came out of where the ingredients come from. So, you know, we talk a lot about process from bagel. Is it a New York style bagel? Is it a Montreal bagel? They all have different process. But for me and my breads, what I've developed is an origin story for the product. So Sonoran style baking. So this is about the grain. So the bagels I'm making now with Chompy's is collaboration. I've developed this bagel with the head of R&D, Neil Borenstein of Chompy's. And it's Sonoran wheat bagel. So 85% whole grain Sonoran wheat. My farmer for this project is in Coolidge, the Hiscox Farms, Noah Hiscox. And it's a sourdough bagel with no sugars and no oils. This is in line with what I do with the bread. So I wanted to create a healthful bagel. Traditionally, bagels are about 10 to 12% sugar to the flour weight. To me, you don't need the sugar in the bagel. I think that creates sort of like this craving, or after you have it, you want more. And that's really the sugar talking a lot of times in these food products. For me, the bread, it should feel good on the body. You should feel satisfied from eating it. But also going beyond that, it's going back to that origin. What am I doing to help people in my community besides me, besides my family and my business? I want to engage other farmers. I want to make sure that we have this farming in Arizona of the grain. And this is something that dates back to Father Kino of the raising of the grain. So to me, it's continuing with that culture, that heritage and support of my community, from agriculture to gastronomy, to community development, to engagement, and to create a community around my products.
It must be certainly more expensive to use local grains like this, right? Compared to something that was produced by a giant agro business, a giant farm. So much of our food production these days comes from these massive, massive companies, right, that have genetically modified things such as wheat to be an entirely different animal than what it was 70 or 80 years ago. I remember reading a book called Wheat Belly a few years ago that talked about, you know, the strains of gluten and how wheat as we know it no longer looks anything like it did a few decades ago. Like, tell me a little bit more about these local grains.
Yeah, absolutely. So the grains I'm using, I have about 12 species that are growing here in Arizona, and they, you know, are termed low inflammatory. And you mentioned the Wheat Belly book, which I've read cover to cover because I'm kind of interested in what other people are saying about grain and about bread products. But it's really about the ingredients. So firstly, it's about the ingredients. So low inflammatory grains, and these grains are older varietals that haven't been modified as much or bred as much. So you, for instance, einkorn, this is something I use now, which is a diploid wheat, the mother of all grain. And it has a totally different protein content or gluten structure than some of the modern wheats. So the translation for that is feels good on the body. You don't have the GI stress you would normally have from modified wheats. It's also the process. Using a sourdough, which breaks down starches and proteins, so that kind of neutralizes that feeling, doesn't spike the blood sugar. And if, like, again, you're smiling, I do feel that the GI muscle, the GI is tied to the facial muscles. When you eat, you should feel good. You should be smiling, and not just from a flavor blast, but it should feel good on the body. So the products I'm developing are for the community. And I think that's why there is this line at Barrio Bread. That's why I have so much support, is because I'm trying to make people feel good with the breads. My team and I, you know, making these breads or the products, even the pizza that my son and I are making starts with a good grain varietal, sourdough method. So when you eat the pizza, it feels clean, you feel good. But a lot of the grains that I am using are older varietals, and that just, like I said, translates into a better feel on the body. But also, it's support for my farmers. I really want to make sure that they are getting paid the wage that they need to make this all work. So the little bit maybe more expensive conventional bread if you went price per price, but if you did weight for weight, it's less expensive. A lot of grocery store bread is 1 pound for about $8 now. I'm selling a pound and three quarters of bread for $8. So if you really to measure that weight for weight, it's about the same or even a little bit less in some instances if you're staying with some basic breads.
Well, without a doubt. Now, is there an effect on, say, that gluten-free diet, that having this local, more natural grain gives you less gastro and, you know, GI stress in some capacity? Like, do you find that some of the gluten-free customers can eat your product?
Absolutely. I've changed. I feel like a lot of diets have been changed. Like I mentioned, the einkorn or the croissant, the spelt, these breads, people are consuming them and coming back, you know, week after week because it's become a big part of their diet. And these people that have given up on bread product for like a decade and now have just come into this and realized Barrio Bread is different. They can eat it and become a big part of their diets.
Which is pretty amazing because, as I can say affirmatively here in the restaurant business, so many of our customers these days are looking to avoid altogether or minimize their consumption of gluten. And in fact, our knowledge, our product knowledge, our server training has had to change because everybody has so many special orders these days for allergens. You expect your server to be a certified dietitian, but with malpractice insurance as well too. Right. And so what can be substituted, what can't be, all pretty massive things these days. And so it's pretty amazing to hear that Barrio Bread can help people out like that. Well, we're going to take a quick break over here, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Don Guerra and Mateo Guerra, Barrio Bread, Barrio Bagel, and Slice. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. We are joined live in the KVOI studios for another couple segments with Don and Mateo Guerra of Barrio Bread, Barrio Bagels, and Slice. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having us back. We're just excited to be here again.
So, Mateo, break down a little bit about Barrio Bagels and Slice over here for me. What are you guys doing with this concept?
Right, so that's my father's and Oren's new brick and mortar concept. And I've done some consulting work for them as far as the pizza goes. So far it's been amazing. My dad and I, we developed these new concepts with the pizza, some cool recipes. So we're definitely excited to implement those in the new brick and mortar.
Where is that brick and mortar going to be located? Can you say yet? Or is it a secret?
I'll let my dad take the reins on this one.
Yeah, so the new brick and mortar for Barrio Bagel and Slice is across the street from my current bakery at Hayden Flour Mills in Gilbert. So Arizona Avenue and Guadalupe. And yeah, we're buying a Sonic. My partner and I, Oren, buying a Sonic and going to de-Sonic it and make it cool and still keeping the drive-through a drive-through worth driving through. And that's going to have bagels, morning bagels, cream cheeses, bagel sandwiches, press sandwiches, focaccia, tortas, salads, a coffee and tea program through Matador, and of course the pizzas that I've been developing here with Mateo and with his touch on it and expertise. But excited to have all this through a drive-through, and it's also going to have the bakery component as well. So the bakery I currently have in Gilbert will be serving as a commissary. So I'll bring in a lot of the natural leavened breads over, the straight sourdough breads, and produce some of the mixed leavened breads in that location, in the new location, and just kind of fill it out as a bakery. So this is where the sales would be for the Gilbert. People would be able to come in on the daily and pick up a loaf, grab a cup of coffee, and maybe a bagel sandwich to go. But excited for it. It's all the things I've been working on for years. Of course, this Sonoran-style bagel, the collaboration with Chompies has proven to be successful. People are really enjoying the bagels, but to do it with a combination of all the products that have been in development for years now is going to be exciting and fun and, you know, of course, a challenge.
No, without a doubt. Obviously, drive-thru is a completely different world right now compared to, say, the Barrio Bread located in Broadway Village, where I often see lines of 50, 60, 70, 100 people waiting in line just to buy your product.
It's incredible. Yeah, so it's a shift. It's a quick service restaurant. So for me, it's always about learning. And I know I'm not alone on this. A true entrepreneur is ready to dive into anything and figure it out. And, you know, it's something that's also dear to me is not repeating what I do. I always have a lot of room for growth and love to be challenged. And so I'm learning a lot. I'm learning about, you know, how apps work on phones, how to the customization of products and how to provide all this food in a timely manner. So it's training staff as well. So, you know, being a former educator and still a breaducator, it's something I love to do is train staff, inspire them, and to see the young people come up and take it on, and allows me to get out there and tackle, you know, more of the challenges and go after the opportunities. So seeing Mateo help me develop this within my family, this is a dream come true to see his passion coming out of something that I've done for years and to see him just kind of taking the lead on this.
I love it. So Mateo, are you going to bring in some app ordering for this one? Are we going to have to wait in 100-person line, or is there going to be a way to like peck a button and pre-order my Barrio Bagel and Slice here?
Yeah, we'll definitely make sure you guys get in a timely manner.
I love it. That's great. It's cool to see that technology coming up to allow that level of customization of product as well too, and to help with the throughput in a drive-through line as well too.
Yeah, I think from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you're looking at the economics. You always have to have an eye on that bottom line. And, you know, these apps that you can create for your business really mean a lot. So when it's there's not a lot of cars in the drive-thru, doesn't mean you're not busy. So this is just staying up with technology, staying up with how the modality of how people shop, how people consume products and want to order them and pick them up. You really have to cater to the customer. And, you know, these different modalities that I will be using for Bagel and Slice, it's a challenge, but it's also, you just have to do that as an entrepreneur. And I'm up for the challenge, and I know my team will be too. I'm an amazing partner for this project, Oren Malavinsky, and he and I have been we've known each other for about 7 years now, and really in line with our entrepreneurial spirit and our creativity and passion for local. And so, yeah, I think we're going to go for it, and I know we'll get that support from the community. This is what I'm all about, is making sure that it's not just focused on me, the business, and you know, the money component, but that is necessary. But for me, it's about what can I do new and unique to serve my community, to engage my community. And really, it's also about growing the local grain economy. So I have an opportunity to engage more growers to make these products, because all the products that we're making, all the bread, everything served on a bread, will be local grain. And it will be in a chance to expand that grow. It will be a chance for more people to get involved. From in the agriculture world, but also from the gastronomy and the creativity and the craft of the bread, to train more bakers. So this craft stays in Arizona with my people, with some of the people coming up, the students of the bread world, and give them a chance, because this is something, what would be my legacy, is leaving the grain growing here, the know-how, how to make a natural leavened bread, and create an opportunity for the younger people to, you know, this is physical work, so we need those young backs and the young hands, and try to get people inspired to work with their hands. And this would be a dream come true. And seeing Mateo just take it up, and he is becoming so skilled at this pizza, and it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's healthy, it's fresh. And so this is what Barrio Bagel will be offering, is trying to get as many local ingredients as we can into the foods, with friendly service. It really is focused on the consumer. It's community supported, but customer centered.
So you're going to be using the same Hayden Mills flour that you're getting right now for the bakery shop you're doing, and having it basically be right across the street there in Gilbert, correct?
Correct.
Amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about opening up in Gilbert compared to opening up in Tucson. You're one of Tucson's favorite culinary sons over here. This is Don Guerra again from Barrio Bread, right? James Beard award-winning chef, and his son Mateo live in our KVOI studios. Like, how does it compare opening up a store in Gilbert compared to opening up your store in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, first, it's not so easy. It's a huge market in Phoenix, but this is also where I'm from. So being close to my family, I get to see my family every week when I'm up here when I'm up in Gilbert working on Mondays and Tuesdays. I do get to see my family, and that is a bonus. We're not getting any younger. So as time goes on, I want to make sure I have that FaceTime with my family and the good times, the meals once a week. And then also, it's a challenge for me to do this. I'm up for that challenge, but don't worry, Tucson. It might be coming back down to Tucson, the same concept. I do want to have this concept come to Tucson. I'm currently looking at Gastronomy Collective as one of the locations. It's not set in stone, but I do have an eye on this location. But don't worry, Tucson. You'll get a chance to taste it too, but in the meantime, we do have a pop-up focaccia night at the bakery. And matter of fact, it's coming up this Friday. You have a chance to taste the pizza, Mateo's pizza, if you want to come out Friday, 5 p.m. We usually do it on the first Friday of every month, but because of the holidays, we took a little extra time to get to it. So come on out, Tucson, if you want to try the pizza this Friday, 5 p.m.
And Mateo, your pizza sells out pretty quickly too. How long do you expect that pizza to be available this Friday?
Right, yeah. So we usually open up the shop at around 5, and it's usually gone within an hour 15.
Unbelievable. Yep. I wish I had that problem over here in my restaurant, right?
It's a good crowd, and this is kind of in line with the way it goes at Barrio Bread, is the quick line, and it's fast service, and get it hot and fresh. And we sell, you know, probably about a few hundred slices in that hour, an hour 15, but you know, this is just the way we do it. Get in and get out. The prep time is quite a bit, but we want to make sure that service time is short. Goes right in the box. You're out the door, and take it home. It's great pizza to even refresh the next day. Eat cold. It's all delicious.
So tell me a little bit about your style of pizza compared to, say, one of your favorite styles. I've heard you mention Chris Bianco before, Pizzeria Bianco, of course, another James Beard Award-winning chef who had a restaurant here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And it only lasted about a year and a half before they pulled up shop and moved back to concentrate on their restaurants in Phoenix. And they've actually opened up successful restaurants in Napa Valley, I believe, as well, mm-hmm. too, in Los Angeles.
Like,
why did that not work in Tucson?
I'm not sure why it didn't work. I think maybe ahead of its time, you know, with this style of pizza. I mean, there is no doubt Chris Bianco is a James Beard winner several times over because of his expertise and because of his passion and because of his support for community and the growers that have this ingredients for him. But I think Chris is maybe a little bit early, but to see Chris just continue on without slowing down at all. This is just who he is. And he's been a huge inspiration. You know, I've asked my son in the past, Tao, what's your favorite pizza? You know, thinking he might have said, oh, Dad, it's your pizza. But he said Chris Bianco's pizza, and I cannot blame him. Chris is a legend to us. We love him dearly. We love his family and his brother, Marco. But he's just been an inspiration. I know he has for Mateo. And the pizza that we're doing is more of a Sicilian style. It's more in line with the bread that I make at Barrio. And it's just come something that we see as something quick, transportable, easy to portion out, and the bake time, it's up front. So when you serve it, it's right there and it can be reheated quickly. But the way we do it at Barrio right now for these pop-ups is just hot and fresh. Just get the slices. And so,
and amazing, that's 5 p.m. this Friday, and Mateo's calling and he says he's going to be out of pizza within about an hour and a half. So you listeners should get over there and give that a try. Don't go anywhere. We've got one more segment with Don and Mateo Guerra from Barrio Bread, Barrio Bagel and Slice coming up after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. Every weekday on your dial, 9 to 10 a.m. On Mondays and Fridays, you've got Dr. Ed Ackerley bringing you all kinds of amazing things from the University of Arizona. General Ted Maxwell from SALC has the engagement hour on Tuesdays. You've got myself on Wednesdays, a little food for thought, talking all things hospitality business. And coming up tomorrow, 9 to 10, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. But we've got one more segment over here with Don and Mateo Guerra, some of the most famous bakers and chefs in all of Tucson over here. Thank you again for spending part of your Wednesday morning with us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Grant.
Thank you.
So we were talking some of your favorite local restaurants in Pizzeria Bianco, but given they're not in Tucson anymore, break down a couple of your favorites. If you're not eating Barrio Bread, Barrio Pizza, Barrio Bagel, where are you guys going out?
I'm going for Mexican food,
right?
Honestly, but you know, I love all of it, but I do have to give a shout out to El Torero and Chef Mikey Lindquist. I just think his food is amazing. I love the space, South 4th Avenue, hole in the wall for sure. And it's just so classic, and he has this new remodel that looks fantastic, but I do love his food. Sonoran style food with the lift, and it's sort of this, his own flair of his training and, you know, in San Diego, he's just come out with some delicious foods. And just love the vibe he's created there, and the staff is just fantastic. So
no, he's fantastic. I've been talking to him for years, trying to figure out a way to work together to maybe bring back La Rua's as well, too. Yeah. Their other family restaurant that was located on Broadway and was sadly taken with eminent domain for the Broadway widening.
Right. Yeah, that was a hard one, but it's nice to see that he's just flourishing and just the popularity that he's gaining over there. I mean, it's always been there and always been popular, but I feel now it's just on fire over there. It's doing some great stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. Any other local favorites you guys got?
I love, you know, Lowe's Ventana. I love what Chef Ken Harvey's done with the Flying V, one of my all-time favorite restaurants, special occasion, not special occasion. I just love the treatment that you get up there, the hospitality to the max, and just really amazing culinary experience. And the brunch. I mean, if you're in Tucson, you have to go check out this spectacular brunch. The vibe he's created there, bringing in local chefs, you know, a couple times a year where we all get together and be able to showcase our talents. But just on the weekly, what he's done there is just a beautiful setting, amazing food, and again, hospitality to the max. You feel so special going up. And
I love the camaraderie between all the local restaurateurs that we have here in Tucson. I think it's one of the great parts about our culinary scene is that not only, even if we're competitors to a certain degree on the playing field, we're actually all friends behind the scene, right? Anybody that ever ran out of straws or napkins or limes or whatnot, it was more than welcome to come knock on our doors, and I know yours as well too, to help out. It's a hard business to do when everything is going right, and it's an even tougher business to do when they're not.
Oh, absolutely. It's more about the collaboration right now. And I think people coming together to support our community, this is really what we should be doing anyways. It's not competing, but just to serve our community in the best way we can. And one thing I love to see is all the efforts like you're talking about. I mean, one thing that's really impressive, a person is in business is Empire Pizza. I mean, what Dave has done there, reaching out and creating these different food fusions with the pizza, if it's Thai, if it's Indian. And this has really been awesome to see. And, you know, maybe there's a chance to like just keep going on that, even for us to get involved with this sort of fusion. But I love that vibe that David's created, and just reaching out to people, whether it's ingredients, whether it's just opportunities. And so,
and that's David Fermansky from Empire Pizza, also a veteran of Jump In Tucson over here, been on the show a number of times with us now. And he's got so many amazing different food truck options going on with all these collabs over here. Have you guys thought about any sort of food truck in any capacity besides for the pop-ups, or are we keeping it brick and mortar?
Well, right now the bagel and slice is coming up, but you know, there's always opportunities. We're always excited to try new things, and I hope there's a chance to work on something like the food truck, and you know, even with David someday, because he's doing a lot of that, and he's just been just driving at that. But it's cool to see he's figured out this amazing formula to bring everyone in for the benefit of Tucson, like I'm saying.
Yeah, Senai Thai, like popping up at Crooked Tooth Brewery. We had them on a few weeks ago as well too. Like, super excited to see Chef D coming back into the fold over here too, a really well-regarded chef. And maybe some of these food trucks will be great incubators for these smaller companies again as they work their way up the ranks to eventually a brick and mortar.
Oh, absolutely. It gives people a start. You can really get out there. And, you know, I was in the garage 8 years. And so that was really about getting the brand out there, creating the community. So the more you can do this and make it financially feasible and responsible, these are great opportunities.
Without a doubt. Mateo, you've got that pop-up again coming up on Friday. What time is that one again to check out your new pizza?
It'll be 5 p.m. on Friday.
And Charles Heller is calling in with a quick question to ask if there is a Barrio Bagel in Tucson. Like, can they get that bagel in any capacity here?
Yeah, absolutely. Come down to the bagel to try out the Barrio Bagels at the shop. They're available every day that the bakery is open. Come down and try them. They're sold in six packs. Also individually, the focaccia bagel, it's a rosemary sea salt bagel. But as mentioned, no added sugars, no oils, sourdough leaven. And so when you eat this bagel, you don't have that hockey puck in the stomach. You feel good. You are smiling. And you know you're eating fresh and clean and at the same time supporting local farmers.
I love it. I've got a hockey puck in my stomach for the Tucson Roadrunners, always trying to promote those games and local sports over here as well, too. Mateo, why don't you give us a quick promo over there? Where can people find out more information about Barrio Bread, Barrio Bagel, and Slice?
Definitely go check out the Instagram Barrio Bread and Barrio Baker. We'll have all the information about the pizza pop-ups and whatnot on there.
And where are your stores located, guys?
Yeah, so Barrio Bread is 18 South Eastbourne Avenue. Nearest intersection is Broadway Country Club. And more information, go to BarrioBread.com. Just launched a beautiful new website. Fantastic, lots of information. Also, Barrio Bread Gilbert, 932 North Colorado Avenue. That's in Gilbert. And Barrio Bagel and Slice coming soon, hopefully March for a launch. You know, just working through everything. Everything takes a little longer than you want it to, but that's not a bad thing. More planning. And so, yeah, but feeling like we've done a lot of the planning. Everything is built. We're ready to get going here soon. And that'll be an awesome experience. If you're traveling up to the valley, you want to stop in, you know, off the 101 and check out Barrio Bagel and Slice. Chance to grab a loaf of bread, coffee, and some prepared foods.
I love it. Coming up early March, we're saying over here, I hate to ever hold restaurateurs to an exact date on a restaurant opening, particularly on a live format over here, because it's like this impossible task with trade stacking and so many permits and inspections dependent on each other over here. I've missed the mark by a couple months before as well too, but we're really excited for that one to open up over here in Gilbert and get a chance to check that out. And I hope you guys do so well that you choose to do one of those stores here in Tucson as well, too. It's such an amazing thing to see Tucsonans spreading their wings and going up to the valley in Phoenix and absolutely crushing it. And I know you guys are going to be tremendously successful over there in your upcoming endeavor.
Oh, thank you so much, Grant. This is really about both towns. It's not, you know, Tucson versus Phoenix, but we look at this as just holistically. We love our state. We want to serve our community.
Thank you both Don Guerra and Mateo Guerra from Barrio Bread, Barrio Bagel and Slice. Looking forward to giving you guys a try over here soon for those delicious Sonoran bagels and some awesome focaccia pizza. That's coming up this Friday at 5 p.m. Come early, get in line, because Mateo's saying it's not going to last too long. It's been a great Wednesday morning with you over here. Thank you for spending part of your day on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.